some of your memorable campaigns from names that we still know.
Where did you get all this stuff?
In 76, 1976, Jim Inhofe ran against you.
Right.
In the Republican primary, he defeated State Senator Frank Keating and Mary Warner.
Yeah.
And then he loses in the general election to you 54% to 45%.
Mm-hmm.
About that campaign, was that a difficult campaign? Was this the first time you maybe thought, well, I don't know if I'm going to make this. He's a Republican. Republicans are getting stronger.
It was interesting because Olivia and I, before every campaign, usually the beginning of the year, would map out, how do you beat this guy Jones? And we were pretty good at beating Jones. So that when we got to the real campaign, they could throw nothing at us that we hadn't thought of ourselves and were ready with a counterpunch. On Inhofe, we had thought of everything he could throw at us. We get into the fall campaign. I'm still in Washington. We had a late session of Congress, and they would be sending the clips of stuff in the paper that he had charged me this and charged me that. And I thought, this guy must be brilliant. I've never thought of that. We never thought of that. I thought, God, I've never run against such a brilliant tactician and strategist as Inhofe. Came back to Tulsa with about 3 weeks before the election. We finally adjourned, and we had a debate before the downtown Kiwanis Club, Lions Club, one of those. And I came home and I told Olivia. I said, I think we figured out Inhofe. She said, what's that? I said, he's just dumber than a post. And once we figured that out, we were able to handle him easily.
I don't understand. He still said the same things, but...
We had plenty of counterpunches. The other thing that he couldn't stand was humor poked at him. And humor has to be used delicately, because humor against someone else can also be cruel sometimes. But our humor just drove him up the wall. He would almost self-destruct in public gatherings. And so we could ignore him, basically, except when we were together. Play our own game, and turned out to be good.
You debated with him?
We debated. I don't remember how many times, but I think we had maybe two or three.
And he had run for governor and had been defeated as well.
Against Boren, yeah.
Then another memorable campaign would be 1984, when Frank Keating ran against you.
Right.
And he'd been a state legislator, and you received 52% of the vote as Reagan carried the district in his 49-state landslide.
Right.
So this was a huge win for you.
Well, the interesting thing was every Republican that ran against me, I knew they were going to come out and just throw mud right off the bat.
Just because you were a Democrat.
Yeah, and always they overstated the case. So I never threw the first punch, but once the punch was thrown, we counterattacked ferociously. And Frank had made a commercial standing in the boxing ring, if you recall, and he says, as U.S. attorney, I've never lost a case. Well, there is never any attorney that hadn't lost a case somewhere. Olivia goes down to the law library, does the research, and found a couple of cases that were significant that he lost. So we counterpunched with a commercial on that, and it just turned the tide. Again, it was one of those things, if the candidate won't be honest with you when he's asking for your vote, how do you think he's going to be honest with you afterwards? After the election, I saw Frank at an airport somewhere. We visited, and I said, you know, I just want to tell you something. I'm glad I never lost, but if I had had to lose to someone, you would have been the one I wanted to lose to, because you were in public service for the right reasons and you were smart. And we've been friends ever since.
Nice compliment. We all know he went on to become the governor of the state of Oklahoma.
Well, he said he never could have been governor if I hadn't beaten him.
So then you decide, being a representative, you've done that long enough, and to enter into a campaign for the U.S. Senate. And that happened in 1986.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. In 1980, it was an open Senate seat when Don Nichols won for the first time. Some polls were done. I don't know that I did them, but some polls were done that showed of all the candidates, Democrat and Republican, I was the odds-on favorite to win. I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I'm not that enamored with the Senate. I love the House. I would love to be Speaker of the House. And if I could be elected budget chairman, that would be the stepping stone to be Speaker. And so I decided not to run in 1980. When Frank Keating ran against me, of all the Democrats in the House, I had more requests from other members to come speak in their districts. and the press said that Tip O'Neill's successor would either be Jim Wright, Danny Rostenkowski, or myself. It'd be a three-person race. I was tied down that whole campaign. I could either go around the country and make speeches for other people and pick up the chits and get defeated, or I could get reelected and hope. By the time that election was over, it was obvious that Jim Wright, who had no opposition in Texas, had gone around the country and picked up the chits, and he was going to be elected speaker. So I thought to myself, I could hang around maybe 20 more years and be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, but do I want to do that? And I decided I didn't. I didn't want to just be an ordinary member, and there were many other things. So I called my mother. This would be 1987. She was 87 years old. I'll never forget this. I called. I said, Mom, I just want you to know I'm going to have a press conference tomorrow, and I'm going to announce I'm not going to run for re-election. I just wanted you to know ahead of time. Long pause, and she says, you think you can get another job? And I thought, I was really disturbed by that at that time. I'd done all these things. Now being a parent, you see exactly what she meant. In any event, I had no particular plans, and then nobody was running against Don Nichols. So some Democrats came to me and said, would you run? And I thought, well, I don't have any other plans. Yes, I will. I had gotten into the race maybe the first week and going around outside the Tulsa World circulation area into the Daily Oklahoman circulation area, I realized this is not winnable. The attitudes of Oklahomans are such that I can't win this race. I mean, we make a good run at it, but this is really uphill. But then you're in a situation where you have to put on the smile and keep up the front until the election's over. That's a very tough thing to do, but I don't regret doing it. I learned a lot.
When did you determine you couldn't win this election? Early on in the campaign?
Pretty early on. I would either have to substantially change my beliefs and talk about them. We closed the gap. We closed the gap, and by Labor Day, our polls showed we were like within 2 or 3 points of Nichols, and we felt that we had some momentum going. At that point, we had just started running an ad with the entire congressional delegation, including David Boren, endorsing me. This had been cleared before. These are things that they had all said publicly, et cetera, et cetera. David apparently got some pressure out of Oklahoma City, and he called and said we had to pull the ads. We couldn't run the ads. And I said, but you had agreed to, basically. Well, he said, well, you just can't. I didn't see this commercial, and I didn't approve it. So we had to pull the ads. Not only that, but a simultaneous story leaked front page of the Daily Oklahoman that David Boren insisted that we pull the ads. And our momentum, we saw in the polls, the momentum just reversed. So once that was done, I knew it was going to be very tough.
So why was David Boren pressured to withhold that endorsement?
I have no idea. He had many friends over in Oklahoma City, the Gaylords and what have you, and whatever they had on him or pressure to put on him, apparently they did. But as I tell Olivia, in many ways, we should be thanking David, because I've gone on to do many more things and am in a much better financial situation than I never would have been had we been elected.
I think Nichols painted you as a liberal. Actually, you were a centrist.
Yeah.
But the Republican shift also, the drumbeat was on. And it's like, could win as a Democrat?
Yeah. It was amazing to me, because if you strictly looked at the Reagan policies and what they were doing to average Oklahomans, you would say if they were voting their self-interest, they would vote Democratic. But Reagan was such an icon and so beloved that you couldn't penetrate that. And so it was a Republican year.
Ronald Reagan, very popular, made 2 visits to the state on top of you being a Democrat.
Yeah.
That had to help, obviously, as well.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And Nichols ran a good campaign. We had one debate, which was not televised, in Tulsa at one of the Jewish women's organizations. And I felt that I had won that debate hands down, but he would never debate me again. So we could never contrast the two of us, which was very smart on his part. and then using the Reagan umbrella. It was a smart campaign.